Hello, 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 and welcome. Welcome to Be Aware. Be Aware of Your Thoughts, podcast number 27. I'm Dr. Cynthia Marie Whitley. I'm a minister, but not your conventional minister. I am also a certified holistic coach. I believe that words are powerful beyond our imagination. Therefore, we are powerful. This podcast is about self-realization, mainly through storytelling. I want my viewers to know that they participate in creating their lives through their thoughts, which turn into words, which turn into action. Today, I have a phenomenal coach guest with us, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her before I bring her on. Her name is Jocelyn Herman Sasio. She is an author. She's been featured in The New Yorker and The New York Times. She's been on NBC News, ABC. She's been on TEDx. She's a master coach and a keynote speaker. So with that, I am going to now introduce you to our guests. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi. Hello. It's so good to see you and be with you. I'm great.
Good, 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 good. So Jocelyn, tell us a little bit about yourself as we begin.
Sorry, you just dropped out for 1 second. Tell us a little bit about myself.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that I can do. Okay. that's easy. All right. So I've been participating in transformative work, like transformative education, since I was 11 years old. That's 44 years this year. I know some of the people listening probably, you know, weren't even a thought in their parents' mind at that time. And I've been leading programs and coaching people for more than 30 years. And mainly what I coach people in is what I call the art of being unmessable with. So it's about not having perfect circumstances because life is what it is, right? But how do you respond to those circumstances and how can you still be able to create the life of your dreams no matter what the circumstances are? I am married. I am a mom of three. My oldest daughter got married last year, so and I live in New York, and I take care of my parents who are getting up there, and then I'm just gonna be moving to France, which is a dream come true for me part time this year. So still fulfilling dreams, not just for other people, but also myself.
Wonderful, and thank you for taking care of your parents.
Yeah, that's my honor. I mean, hello. I wouldn't exist had it not been for them. So they took care of me. It's time to pay it forward.
That's wonderful. So there's two things that stick with me that I've heard you say. And one was that orange was the color of transformation. When I was teaching in the classroom and I heard that, I felt that. I said that, and I took it to my classroom. I had third graders, and my room was transformed by the color orange.
Wow, that makes me happy.
Yes, I had assistant principals come in, and they said, well, if your room looked like this, I could imagine what your home looked like. And I know that those kids had a wonderful year because I felt wonderful that year, and that I think the orange did it.
I love orange. I have so much orange around me. It's crazy. But I hate to burst your bubble, but I kind of made that up, that orange was the color of transformation. I have no hard evidence of that. It just created that. And now look at that. Look what it created with you.
Okay. You're going in and out. Can you, do you know that? Okay. I need you to check your mic.
Okay. How's that? Good?
That sounds better.
Okay, good.
Okay. Now, why did you not want to burst my bubble?
I said, because I made up that orange was the color of transformation.
You made it up.
Yes. I had no evidence for that. I just created it and it created something for you. But for me, I just love the color orange. And I created that to associate it with something that I love called transformation.
And I've been telling people that for years.
Listen, words create reality. Just like you said, you know, your intention is out of this podcast and your work with people, it begins with the word. In the beginning, there was the word. There's your minister background, right? So yes, you can create.
Absolutely. The second thing I want to point out is your love for the Wizard of Oz, because my love is the Wizard of Oz. And I was creating a private school, and I wanted to show the children movies that I thought were excellent. And while watching The Wizard of Oz, I saw myself as Dorothy. I was lacking intelligence and courage. And I said, I see myself as Dorothy. So I fell in love with the story and even wrote a book called Looking for Self in All the Wrong Places. What significance did The Wizard of Oz have for you?
Well, when my oldest daughter was little, it was her favorite movie, and she would watch it over and over and over again. And, you know, that was back in the days of videotapes. I know we don't have those anymore, but, you know, remember they would wear out and you'd have to buy a new one. Yes, you and I remember. Some people don't even know what that is. I mean, a VCR is like an ancient relic. But we went through probably 10 copies of The Wizard of Oz because we watched it so much. And one day she was watching it in bed with my husband when I came home from work. And she said, Mommy, Mommy, come watch The Wizard of Oz. And I said, Mommy's working, like automatically. You know how you get automatic and you just, I was just going to check my emails and just go on automatic. And then she turned to my husband and said, Mommy's working. And it stopped me in my tracks, you know, and I realized, you know, here's my daughter wanting to be with me and I'm going to check an email. Like, really? So I said, okay, the computer had to warm up. That was also back in the days when computers had to warm up. So I said, I have a few minutes. So I said, what is it that you need, sweetie? She said, come over to the edge of the bed. So now I'm committed. So I'm like, okay. So I walked over to the edge of the bed and then she says, close your eyes. So I surrendered and I just close my eyes, and she said, there's no place like home. I know I could cry right now, but just in that moment, I realized, you know, so much of our lives is spent getting through life, getting to the next appointment, getting to the next task, whatever it is. But life is happening right now. And most of the time, we're missing it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the significance.
That's beautiful. So you already answered when you started coaching. So I'm not going to ask you that question.
Okay.
But what I would like to know is this, because I find as a coach that you can coach people and sometimes they're just going to go ahead and do what they want to do anyway. It's as though you didn't coach them. Do you find that to be the case?
I find that sometimes to be the case, but, you know, people have to pay me most of the time to coach them. Oh. So it puts a little bit more skin in the game. When I give free coaching, it's hit or miss. But when people have something invested, like skin in the game, they're more likely, I find, to at least take what I say into consideration. Whether they do it or not, sometimes is a function of their muscle with what I call their word. Because they might have a good intention to do something, but then their ability to do what they say is weak and it messes with them. So that's what I call being messable with, which is not a problem because what I design my coaching around is to bring up what messes with people so that I can dismantle it with them and disappear it so they're free.
Okay. Okay. So that answers also what you mean by unmessable.
Yes, it's not being tough. That's not what I mean. Sometimes people go, oh, you mean like, you know, you're aggressive or you're, no, not at all. It's about being able to respond to any circumstance without getting reactivated or triggered or hooked. Being able to create.
Yes, being able to create. because things are going to mess with you in life.
Circumstances happen. What are you going to do? My mother had a stroke. I'm not in control of that circumstance, but how am I going to deal with that? I have a say over.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So I decided, I picked up your book. I took a class with you recently, and I didn't know that you were an author. And so I got the book before this was even arranged.
Wow.
So it's like, that's perfect. Now, what I'd like to say is that I had a podcast in November. The name of the podcast was Abracadabra. And what I got after searching the word was that in Hebrew, it means I create as I speak. And in Arabic, it meant I create like the word. Mm. So I want to read something from your book. And I want you to expound upon it. And it has to do that. It says, words create what we see, feel, and think. Isn't life exactly how you say every time? Aren't you exactly how you say every time? Isn't he/she exactly how you say every time? Well, perhaps there is nothing out there until you say it.
Wow.
I think that is deep.
That was a long time ago. I wrote that. I'm like, wow, that was good.
So I want you to speak to me.
Absolutely. Well, first I want to speak, abracadabra is my tattoo. So that's how much I love that word. And it is about creating with your word as you speak, right? My daughters and I all share this tattoo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I take that very seriously. But it's like people sometimes get stuck in a relationship to language or words where they can only use their words to describe things. You know, like I can say, you have nice glasses, or those flowers behind you are pretty, or, you know, my boss is annoying, or my job is boring, or whatever. So that's one use of language, is to describe stuff that's out there or stuff that's in here. You know, like I think this, or stuff that's in here, I feel this way. Like you're looking and describing, right? That's one use of language. However, there's a whole other use of language, which is incredibly powerful, which is using your language to create.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the orange thing. I mean, look at what that created for you. That was completely created. It wasn't describing something. It was creating, you know, or you can create, you know, your husband is the love of your life. That's not a description. If it is a description, then the minute he does something irritating, it disappears. So you have no power with words that describe, because things that are descriptions are fixed and solid. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like this lipstick is gold. Okay. So that's it. There's no creation possible. However, in both cases, whether you're describing or creating, those words become filters. So they color how you see people, how you see circumstances, how you see yourself. So if you have words that say my job is boring, then it's like you're wearing glasses of boring. And whatever your boss or your employees or whatever your situation is at work, whatever comes up is colored by boring. But if you create, you know, my job is the opportunity for me to express myself and make a difference. I mean, I'm just making that up, whatever you make up, right? Then those are the glasses. So that colors how you see yourself, the people around you, the circumstances. So, you know, every time you go, I'm scared, aren't you?
Yes.
Every time you go, he's annoying, isn't he?
Yes.
But you think it's a description. What I'm saying is you say it and it is.
So perhaps there's nothing out there until you say it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's an illusion. I mean, it looks like there's stuff, you know, but it's all just energy.
Powerful.
I might want to read my own book again.
Yeah, I have books also. And yes, it pays to read them over. It's like, oh, did I say that?
Yeah, really? That was really good. I'm going to use that for a social media post or something.
Powerful, powerful, powerful.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate
especially,
you.
Especially the deeper meaning for me is when you said perhaps there's nothing out there until we say it. So wow. That means that we get to create.
I'm not a particularly religious person, you know, so you have mastery mm-hmm. in an area that I don't. But from what I understand, you know, if we're made in God's image, God is the creator. Maybe we are the creators.
Mm-hmm. I got that. I like to say we participate in creation.
Yeah. Co-creation.
Yeah. I love it. So. The next thing that I wanted to talk about was FEAR. Now, we've all heard that that's false. So the acronym, false evidence appearing real. Now, I want to ask, why do we experience fear? Because as long as I've been living, yeah. it comes up. Even today, it comes up. Why? I don't know if you have the answer to this.
Well, I don't know if I have the answer, but I have a theory.
Okay, a theory. Wonderful way to put it. Yeah. What's your theory?
my theory is that we are animals, you know, human beings are a particular kind of animal, and it's automatic. It's like a reaction. So it's fight or flight. It's, you know, your brain is designed to have you survive. And what would you have to survive is scary situations. So you don't have to survive, you know, somebody bringing you flowers. I mean, unless you're allergic to those flowers or something, but you have to survive things that create fear or have you automatically respond with fear. I mean, I was dealing with this today. You know, we just signed a lease on a new apartment and we're moving to France and we're doing all this stuff that's all change. And I started to panic. I was like, what are we doing? Like, are we crazy? All this fear started. So I called my husband. I was like, are we crazy? Like, what are we doing right now? He's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, and so I just talked it out with him. I got it all out in reality. And the fear dissipated the minute I dealt with reality. So my theory is your brain is designed to survive. It predicts things that are going to happen from the past. So it inherently has to have you be afraid for the brain to survive. Because that's its job. If you're never afraid, you don't have to survive. So your brain kind of, you know, shifts into a different mode, which is a lot of the work that I do with people is to shift people from reaction mode to creation mode.
Yes.
But one of the pathways to get out of that fear when it happens is just notice it. Notice the physical sensation. Notice the mood. Notice the thoughts. Put it to the side. And then from a space of nothing, like there's nothing out there, right? Create a context that's going to give you some power and freedom in dealing with whatever circumstance you're dealing with, because the context is decisive. It's not the content, it's the context that gives you your experience in any moment.
Meaning the way you think.
Well, it includes the way you think. Actually, let me demonstrate for you, okay? So in the context number, what is this?
One.
Yeah, you don't have to think that, right? It just shows up for you as a one. And in the context body part, what is it?
A finger.
Yeah. Same content, but when you alter the context, it shows up differently. And in the context direction, what is it?
And now, what was that last thing you said?
Direction. In the context direction, what is it?
Up.
Yeah. So now you got three different realities, but nothing in reality actually altered. But what altered was the context. And the context lives purely in language. Here's the power of word again, you know, and you can create context as a human being because you have language. you know, a frog is probably not creating context for the lily pad. You know, they're just functioning, you know, but you as a human being create the world from which things show up in language.
Wonderful.
Isn't that cool though?
Yes. I think it's, I want to say miraculous. The fact that you and I can communicate.
It's a miracle.
And understand one another through words is, I can't describe it.
It's crazy. And even today, you know, I'm like, are we crazy? You know, are we making these decisions? That's all in language. And then the moment I put it to the side and created, no, what I'm creating this year is freedom. That's the context in which I'm doing all of this. Everything altered. Everything.
Okay. That's wonderful. So my word for this year is release. And now I want to, it's the same thing that you're saying, but I'm going to talk about being indecisive.
Okay.
And I say that because I just created, this week what I did was create a phenomenal course. And it's script journaling. And I took the time for 3 days, maybe like 20 hours each day.
Wow.
To put this course together. And I loved every moment of it. Oh, because when I didn't understand something, I went researching. How do I do that? How do I put this in here? And the moment that it was complete, something creeped up in my head. Almost, I guess you could call it doubt, and say, I don't know what you are happy about. others are going to judge you. You might have a mistake in the book. And it's like, the whole mood changed.
Everything. And that's that little voice is just language, just like, oh my God, this is miraculous, is language. Amazing, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And what I heard was the answer to that in what you said just a few moments ago in changing the context.
See, in that other context of, what if they judge me? What if there's a mistake? That's all default. That's not like created. You're not creating that context. Mm-hmm. That's automatic brain activity from the past, surviving when you were teased, when you were four, or what, you know, bullied when you were seven, or whatever happened from the past that now your brain is avoiding.
Wow.
Isn't that, it's amazing how quickly we can go into a default mode. And that's why it takes muscle to get yourself into and stay in creation mode. That takes muscle, mm-hmm. because what messes with us are all those things like doubt and fear and considerations and worries and reasons and justifications, yes. and all of that.
Yes, yes, yes. But this is good, and it's excellent for my guests to hear this, because I'm sure that this is not just me.
I would say, if there's anyone listening who has never had a doubt or worry, then please contact me and let me know how you did that. Okay. I'd like to have whatever you're eating.
Yes, but you know, this is excellent because I get to release that tonight. I get to release the my course. And it's more fire. And now it's like, okay, remember, you create the context. I mean, I do a lot of my life like that anyway.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just do it. I mean, everything, the doctorate. I didn't know what I was doing half the time. It was like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to pull this together. But just like this program, it all came together. And then it was time to present.
Right.
It's like, well, you got to present. You said you was going to be there, so you got to be there, and you got to present.
Showtime.
So, you know, I'm not a stranger to hearing the doubt, but going ahead anyway.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, why you have the life you have. Yes. Because you don't let doubt stop you, except when it does, because you're human and everybody gets messable with. I mean, the people that I work with mostly are very successful people that experience themselves in certain areas as messable with, or like limited, or there's a lid on what could be possible in a certain area. And all that stuff is normal. You know, I've never met anybody, no matter how many billions of dollars they had or zero, you know, that didn't have something.
Yeah, but it almost makes me wonder why that even have to be. But, you know, maybe that's going a little bit too deep there.
So, yeah.
it is the way it is. And I do have another question, and we do have a little more time. Again, I'm going to pull something from your book.
Great. Okay?
And what I meant to put up also was the name of your other books. Right. So I have to get those now.
I have one of them right here, actually. I have The Promise Effect, right? The Promise Effect.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Is that similar to this one? Because Promise shows up in here also.
Yeah. It's different because this is a 30-day program where each day you make a promise. And that promise creates something in your life. Like, so a theme might be celebration. So the promise today is I will lighten up, laugh, and have fun. My commitment with this promise is to embrace the spirit of celebration. But it's all word. I mean, everything that I write about is all about creation and creating with your word a life you love.
Excellent. So I want to pull this now from your book. And it's my world. Welcome. Operating as if the world is yours, the people are your guests. You will take care of all of it. Welcoming people and circumstances to your life because it is your home. From when you are at Starbucks to your house or job, you are the one looking and listening for opportunities to express welcome. So I found that to be like, you mean anywhere I go?
It's a possible way to be. You know, I mean, I notice for me, like wherever I'm in an airport or if I'm in a store, people will come up to me for directions or they ask me because I live like it's my home. You know, so people think I work there or something because the space I am is, what do you need? Like, we're in this together. And, you know, I clean the milk station at Starbucks. I mean, I'm not going to leave it messy for the next person. If it's my home, it's like, no, you get to come to the milk station that I'm creating.
I get that. I understand that. And I'm going to say that I live like that also. One day I went into Dollar Tree. And if you could have seen what the customers must have, I guess it had to be the customers, the books were in such a disarray that it was like, oh my gosh, I can't leave this like this. I'm a retired teacher. So I stayed in I stayed in Dollar Tree about an hour and a half. And I put it on TikTok and showed the difference between when I came in that store and when I left.
Wow.
That wasn't my home, but something in me said, do that. I had a daughter with me. She said, Mom, you're not going to really change. Well, yes, I am.
And well, when you say it's not your home, it's like, okay, if you say so. But in that moment, you could create it as, well, here I am. This is my home. I mean, you know, not to be morbid, but we could drop dead at any minute. So wherever we are, we could claim as our home in that moment.
I got that. And I love that. That was something else that I love. And I have a way also of going into places, and it's as though a certain energy comes with me into that place. And I said, and I'm going to ask you this, is that confidence or arrogance?
Depends on the energy. It depends on the energy. I think everybody has that energy, and you're either a space creator or a space sucker. You know, if you have ever noticed, somebody walks into the room and the whole room goes down. So I think we all have the ability and the responsibility to be responsible for the space we bring to an interaction or a room or a city, you know, but who you be, everything gets impacted.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. I could remember somebody coming to my house with his wife, and they were just saying that they felt so comfortable. It made me think about that. They felt so comfortable in the place to the point where they just took off their shoes. And that was such a wonderful feeling for them to come into my energy and to feel at peace. That meant a lot to me.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And it goes both ways. When you're in a mood or hooked by something, the energy goes a different way. So it's kind of like Sir James Jean said, he was a physicist. He said, when I curl my finger, the universe moves. If this is you, so you go, so goes everything in the universe. For the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Wow. Yeah, that's deep. Yes. There's one more thing I want to point out from your book. And you said peace on the planet is possible. One person, one promise at a time. Now, to be the devil's advocate, I'm going to say, I'm not so sure if that's possible. With all the guns and the violence and the hatred and the war, how is it possible to live in a world or a planet of peace?
Well, one person at a time. But, you know, I realized in my life there, you know, I was all about peace on the planet. That's my mission, blah, blah, blah. And I was at war with my father-in-law for like 10 years. I had opinions about him. Mm-hmm. I was right about it. And in a moment, I realized that there was war on the planet where I was, because I was at war with my father-in-law. And that I had an impact in creating war on the planet. So I go, so goes everything. So I gave up my war with my father-in-law. And in that moment, I created peace on the planet where I am. So every place you're at war, whether it's with yourself, your opinions about yourself, your doubts, or other people, or situations, or political parties, or whatever, there's war where you are. So if everybody promised to give up the war, one person at a time, there'd be peace right there, and right there, and right there, and so goes that, and so goes that, and so goes that.
I see that. I think I remember you even saying that you decided to be peaceful with your mom and take time with your mom. Like when she started to repeat things, you could have seen that, you know, any way that you wanted to, and you decided to be patient and to just love her.
And to just be in the moment with her. Because if she, you know, my mother has dementia, so she'll ask me the same question maybe 5 or 6 times in a few minutes. But if I just answer her question, I'm not like, oh, she's asking again. Again is from my memory. If I'm right here in the moment, there's just right now. Okay, she's asking me where my father is right now. Oh, he's in the yard. Where's your father? He's in the yard. Where's your father? He's in the yard. Or I could be like, Ma, I told you 3 times where Dad is. Can't you remember? I mean, that's absurd. She's just asking where he is. If I don't bring the past with me, it doesn't come with me.
I feel very emotional. Especially when you mentioned that right where I am is either peace or not. That's what I heard in summary.
Yeah.
And I know there are some situations in my life that could be different. And it's going to take me coming to peace.
Yeah.
And like I feel that almost like something going up and down in my system, because I get it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it'd be me. It's not my fault. Because that comes up sometime too. And what comes up sometimes too is just leave the situation alone and let time heal the situation. But like I'm feeling that emotionally. I'm touched.
Well, if I appreciate that you're touched. I'm touched too, because it's universal. It is, if you're not at ease, there's dis-ease on the planet right now. If you're frustrated, there's frustration on the planet right now. And if you take the case, there's nothing out there until you create it. What you're creating in the world is frustration or war or dis-ease or whatever it is. That's now what's going to move the world. I can't imagine if you had a choice that that's what you'd want to create.
Mm. Well, we do have a choice.
Yes.
You know, what's coming to my mind is some people create that, and I almost think they get pleasure out of it. But that's me thinking. I don't know if that's really the case.
Well, they may not have any other muscle. You know, again, it's the context is decisive, because in the context of war, killing somebody is a win. But in the context of walking down the street, it's a crime. So, you know, it's all language, and people have access to whatever language they have access to. And that's why education, and, you know, that you're a teacher or we're a teacher, is so important, because you can create worlds with vocabularies. And when somebody gets the vocabulary of transformation, they have access to a whole other world. Or when they get the vocabulary of physics, they have access to a whole other world. So vocabularies are limited. If you don't speak Portuguese, you don't have a sense of what the Portuguese have a sense of, really. Language is an access to creation and to reality.
Yes, absolutely. Beautifully said. So I could ask you now to mention Mission B, but before I ask you that, is there anything else you'd like to say?
I just love being with you, and this conversation is so fulfilling to, you know, talk about what we're talking about. Not only the fact that we have the ability to have this conversation because we have similar languages, similar vocabularies, but what it opens up, you know, and I'm yes. left bigger out of this conversation with you. And I thank you very, very much for the opportunity.
Wonderful, wonderful one. I'm left bigger, and I pray that my guests are too. I almost know that they are. And I want you to tell them about what you have coming up next. I believe it's called Mission B.
Mission B, yeah.
Yeah, can you tell us about that?
I can, absolutely. So the work that I do personally, you know, with one-on-one coaching and group coaching is all the Be Unmessable With stuff. So beunmessablewith.com. But I wanted to be able to make a difference with companies. And, you know, companies, if you could transform corporations, you can transform the world. So I partnered with two of my heroes in life, Jeff Wilmore and Richard Condon, who are both just genius, genius, sourceful, impactful human beings. I've known them both for decades. And mm-hmm. this is like a dream come true. And we are working together to go into companies and also do workshops for teams and entrepreneurs and solopreneurs so that we can transform the world of business and create whole new paradigms for people to be living from their calling and have their mm-hmm. companies be an expression of their true calling rather than business as usual.
Wow. One employee at a time?
One team at a time.
One team at a time. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, it may be somebody who's interested in what you have.
Absolutely. So, if you're a company, missionb.co is the website. And if you're an individual, beunmessablewith.com.
Okay, beunmessablewith.com. Okay, wonderful, 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 wonderful. I think that, okay, so what I'm happy about is that this went well. I had a little concern, but that was only that thing creeping up inside. But it's like, well, you got to do it anyway. You say you're going to do it, you got to do it. But it's also a calming that took place during this entire process, and I love it. Mm. This is my 27th episode.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I always wanted to create a podcast, And it was like, do it. You're retired now. You can do whatever you want to do. So I'm happy about that. I'm happy about you coming on, and I can't wait to put everything together and send the links out.
I'll send them out on all my things too. I can't wait as well. And it's so great to have, you know, the experience that you're making your dreams come true now, not waiting for a someday, because that's what my whole life is about, is empowering people to do that. So yay you. and the difference you're making for people, you know?
Yes. I love that. I love that too. And I have heard from a few guests about, because I do it from home, and I was really concerned. Oh, I got to have a place. I got to have a place. And something said, you have a place.
Yeah.
Begin now.
There's no place like home.
That is so on target.
Perfect, right?
Yes. Okay. I like to say bloom where you're planted also, but I am going to end the podcast now, and we are going to leave the studio. And Jocelyn, I hope that you come back again.
Anytime.
Excellent.
I'm yours.
Excellent. Okay. So with that, I'm going to say peace and shalom, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, so I'm going to end it.